And now, after years of planning, sweating, and going broke, here is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
And it left the media.
Why they would give this man a podcast is anyone's guess.
And there is what could only be a bizarre coincidence or something else.
Welcome to the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Trapped, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Country music and fine moonshine. Finally, a podcast that lets it all hang out.
Let's level with America.
Got your boots? Ready for some whiskey?
These boots are made for walking.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
And now, the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Hey, welcome back to an episode of the Boots and Whiskey Podcast. As always, I am Jim. I am your host. Thanks for tuning in today with our conversation with the wonderful, talented rising star Logan Crosby is here. For those of you that don't know who Logan Crosby is, welcome to 2024. This kid is gonna be huge, everyone. Like, he reminds me of Connor Smith, right? We had Connor on a couple of years ago before he really like hit it big. It was just after I Hate Alabama had come out, and now look at Connor Smith. Like, he is everywhere with everything. And this is what Logan Crosby is going to be. He's on tour with Cameron Marlowe. He's on tour with all kinds of folks. Megan Maroney. Unbelievable, dude. He's unbelievable. He's also got a very famous country music cousin, and you're going to hear about that here coming up. But a big thank you to coming on to the show today, Logan. If it is your first time here, welcome. We don't do the whole back and forth, you know, where are you from, all that bullshit. We do country music interviews the way you want to hear them. We do it in a very laid back, conversational form. This is no, you know, no slight to anybody, but this is just how we do it. You know, it's all about real people, real stories, real country here, which is our tagline, and we'll say it again at the end of the episode. But thank you for joining us today. Go check us out on all of our social medias. I apologize that things have been kind of slow on the socials the last few days. Got some things going on that I'm just trying to work out and figure out and, you know, what have you. Whatever. We don't have to get into it. But without further ado, guys, thank you so much for being here and enjoy our conversation with Logan Crosby. Here he is. We want to give a big thank you to our friends over at Off the Rails here in Worcester, Massachusetts. You can find them at offtherailswooster.com. They have a great restaurant, a great music venue. They have everything you would want to feel like in Nashville right here in Central Mass. If you're ever in the area, check out the restaurant, check out the music venue. Again, offtherailswooster.com, 90 Commercial Street, Worcester. Check them out.
Hey, man.
What's up?
What's going on, Logan? How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Can you hear me good?
Yeah, I can hear you great. Can you hear me all right?
Awesome. I can hear you perfect.
Perfect. That's all that matters, man. What's going on? Happy. What is today? Monday.
Yes. Oh, Monday the 8th, maybe? I don't know. I've been on vacation the last like couple weeks. So
Nice. Did you go anywhere fun?
Yeah, we did. I went back home for a couple days, like for Christmas. And then my family has a house in the mountains. And so we went up to the mountains and then went to Turks and Caicos for a couple days.
Nice.
Had to get in the sun because it is 33 degrees right now in Nashville. And we start tour next week and we're playing like Michigan, Ohio, like Midwest. So it's going to be cold as shit. So I was I need sun.
We got our first taste of snow of the season this past weekend. So
where are you at?
We're in Massachusetts.
Okay. I got you.
So yeah, we got about a foot. And I fucking hate snow, man. I hate it with a passion.
It's pretty to look at, and I like it like when I'm somewhere that I don't have to go nowhere. Right. But it's like when do not make me drive in this. Do not make me leave my, like when we go to the mountain, sometimes it'll snow and it's like on the way up the mountain, I get everything that I need. I get there. I'm good. But don't make me try to get up this mountain though, because it's going to be bad.
Yep. I feel that, you know, it's, you know, and like we clear up pretty quick here, you know, they do a really good job of getting everybody out on the roads pretty quickly, but
yeah,
even that, man, it sucks. Yeah. But yeah, man. So thanks for coming on and doing this thing, man.
Absolutely.
It seems like we've been kind of like back and forth, touching base every now and again for a while. So this is awesome.
I know. It's awesome that we were able to find a day and a time that it would work. So I'm excited for it. I'm pumped.
Yeah, man. Thanks, man. So like I said to you via text, this is about you, man. I want to hear your kind of your story and your rise to the fame that you're starting to get and all that. And, you know, what's coming up for you?
Awesome. Well, let's see where we can start. I guess, like, for me, you know, music's always, you know, been really prevalent, you know, in the family. For people that don't know, Jason Aldean is my second cousin. So
really?
Yeah. So Jason's my second cousin. We went to Turks together. So like went and got a vacation with him. But so, you know, Jason like hit the scene, you know, rocking in like 2005 with like Hicktown and Why and like all the songs off of that first record. And I was like 4 years old when all that was going on. So kind of my whole life growing up, like I was always looking and I was like, okay, there's my cousin. You know, we go to shows. I'd turn on, you know, CMAs, ACM, CMT Awards, you know, and he'd be there and he would, you know, be on the red carpet or he'd be performing or whatever. And it was just always like, there's this guy and this is, you know, my family. And so growing up, like I always saw him and I was like, it would be really cool one day to see, you know, if I could do that. But, you know, you never think that you're going to actually be able to do something even similar to what, you know, he's doing. Cause he was the biggest artist in country music for, you know, years. And it was Entertainer of the Year and it was Artist of the Decade and had massive hits. So I thought I wanted to be an attorney. I went to school at UGA, go Dawgs, but I thought I wanted to be an attorney. I took the practice LSAT and quickly found out that I would not be going to law school. I needed to figure out another plan. And so at that point in time, I had posted a couple things on TikTok, like just covers of me singing that had done really well. And I was like, okay, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this the right way. So I went down to Guitar Center in Athens, Georgia, bought a bunch of amps, speakers, mics, cables, everything you need, and started going out and playing shows. I was playing shows in Athens at some of the bars and opening up for people. And my hometown has, you know, two bars in it that I used to go play, and just kind of around, like, you know, Georgia is where I was going to play, you know, clubs and shows and whatnot. And it was great and it was fun. And I was like, okay, like this is kind of something that I can see myself doing, you know, and I was kind of getting up or getting towards the end of college. And then one day I got a phone call from New York City and it was somebody that was casting for a brand new TV show that was called Claim to Fame that was on ABC that I ended up going on. It came out in 2022 and it was on ABC. It came on right after The Bachelorette. It was on Hulu. It streamed great on Hulu and it just kind of became bigger than we thought that it was going to be. Cause when you're filming a first season show, you have no idea. You're like, this could be huge. You know, this could be okay. It was massive. But through that, like I was able to get a lot of eyes on me. It wasn't a singing show. It was actually a show about being related to a celebrity. So it's like, I'm on there representing Jason. Brett Favre's daughter's on the show. Whoopi Goldberg has a granddaughter on the show. Kiki Palmer, her sister ended up winning. So, like, there were all kinds of different people represented, you know, on the show. It's a great show. If you hadn't seen it, check it out. Like, it's hilarious. It's awesome. But that's, like, that kind of got a bunch of eyes on me, which allowed me to save up enough money to move to Nashville, which is kind of where everything has started. I've been in Nashville for the last, you know, 14 months. So that's kind of how all that stuff happened, you know. That was the process of me kind of getting to Nashville was that. And it's just been super cool. And I don't know. I feel like I have one of the coolest lives in the world. Cause I'm like, how do you get to do all this stuff? You know, when you're right. 22 years old.
So, you know, growing up, you had mentioned that, you know, you see Jason, you know, on TV and all this stuff and blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah, blah. And you were going to go to law school. Now, was there, were you ever playing music or doing any of that kind of thing during that time? Or was that just something that didn't even cross your mind until law school was out of the question?
I mean, I was playing, like I always played like growing up, like as a kid. So like, I'm from a town called Milledgeville, Georgia, kind of out in the middle of nowhere, but there's a little college there. Got about 6,000 people, 7,000 students, got, you know, a couple bars. But, you know, there was this thing called Deep Roots every year. It was just like a music festival, and all the college bands would come out and play, and, like, they'd have bands come, you know, from a couple towns over. And, like, music was always something that was just super in the forefront of my mind. And I learned guitar. Like, you know, anybody that grew up, you know, in the South going to church, like, you got forced to sing at church. So what, the choice, right? You're getting on the stage. And it's like, okay. So it's like, I always was playing, you know, church and playing, like, in the garage at my friend's house. And we were all just like, it was always kind of one of those things that there was always a guitar in my hand. I was always singing, you know, and so that was always something that I enjoyed doing. But I'm like, I'm just going to go to law school. Why I thought I wanted to be an attorney, I don't know. But that was just kind of my thing. And even in college, like, me and all my roommates, like, we knew how to play guitar, and we would just, you know, we would sit, you know, on our back porch and play guitar and sing covers and mess around. And then it was like, as I started to post videos and as I started to, you know, have things kind of happen, and people would reach out and go, well, can you come play, like, this sorority event? Like, hey, can you come play this frat gig? Can you come play at our bar and stuff like that? And I was like, oh, like, this is a great, like, it was a really cool thing. But for me, it was always still at that point, like, you're going to go be an attorney. On the weekends, you can, you know, play at bars or clubs and just kind of, you know, mess around with it. And then it was almost like, okay, I've got this TV show that's just popped up. You know, I'm not going to be able to get into law school. So I was like, I got to really get serious about this, which is kind of when I did. And that's when I started writing. I started, you know, to put stuff together and get ready to kind of make the move to Nashville. But that's really when I got serious about it, was like in college.
Yeah. So at this at that point, when you're starting to get serious, do you reach out to Jason and say, hey, what do you think? What do you suggest? Do you even have that conversation?
Yeah. So, like, the thing that kind of did with him was, like, I went to him and I was like, hey, like, there's this TV show that I want to go do. You know, I just want to get your permission to do it. You didn't have to, but I mean, I was like, if I go represent you and the family and whatnot, I'm going to ask your permission. He was like, yes, go. And then I was like, hey, like, here's a couple songs that I've been writing and working on, and, like, tell me what you think about them. And I played them, and he was like, hey, man, he's like, I'm going to be honest with you. He's like, you know, that one's good. That one's not, you know, that could be cooler. And at that point, he was just like, I think that you're talented enough and that you, you know, have what it takes to come up here and make it without me, you know, having to give you, you know, a deal or anything like that. And he was like, if you ever need, and the biggest thing that Jason's ever done for me, I tell people all the time, is like, he just answers the phone. He gives me great advice. Right. When I'm like, hey, what do you think about this song? What do you think about this? Like, and he always is like, here's my honest opinion. And that's been the biggest blessing, you know, because I think there's so many people, I mean, because there were people, like, online, and it's like, you know, when Claim to Fame went off, and it was like,
with keeping that Central Mass vibe going, we have to thank our friends over at the DCU Center, again, here in Worcester, dcucenter.com. They are the premier venue here in Central Massachusetts. They are a mid-size arena. They're the home of the Worcester Railers, the Massachusetts Pirates, numerous concerts, numerous events. Check them out, dcucenter.com. They are at 50 Foster Street, right here in Worcester. Cheers.
Well, he needs to give him this, and Jason needs to give him this, and Jason needs to do that. And it's like, no, like that. No, he doesn't. Like, okay. Absolutely, he doesn't. You know, he's just been the best thing he's ever given me and done with me. It's just like, here's my honest opinion on this, or here's what I think about this song. And it's just been great, and it's been a huge blessing. But that's kind of the relationship we have. Is, I mean, like, even this past week when we were down in, you know, Turks on vacation, he was like, here's some of the new songs that we've got coming. And I'm like, here's some of my new stuff. And, like, we just kind of played each other demos and talked about music and talked about strategy and different stuff. And that's just been the best thing, you know, in the world. It's just stuff like that, where he's like, here's my honest opinion on this, you know. Wow. And that's just been great.
Yeah. I mean, that's what a terrible, you know, mentor to have, right? I mean,
right.
Damn. You know, yeah. a guy that is literally, you know, he's done nothing in his life. So, I mean,
he's just reigning artist of the decade. Like,
you know. Right. No big deal. Right. You know, so let me ask you, I'm going to ask you, because this is the kind of show we are, and we don't give a fuck.
Love it.
Now, when it comes to, you know, your family and, you know, the connection with Jason and shit, whenever he's in hot water, quote unquote hot water, how does that, you know, Do you guys, is there like a, just keep your mouth shut and don't comment about it? Do you, you know, is it just something that is talked about, not talked about? You know, does anybody give a shit?
I mean, it's just, there's never been anything, you know, that this happened in all the different, you know, times that he's, quote, been in hot water that I've ever commented. I've never felt the need to, you know, it's you know, it's his career. It's his opinions. It's his thoughts. Everybody has a right to their own opinion, which has kind of always been the thing. It's just like, okay, like, that's just it. You know, I've never felt the need to say anything. You know, as somebody that like majored in political science and thought I wanted to be an attorney and all the different stuff, you know, people ask me, well, what do you think? And I'm just like, I don't really care necessarily. Like, I just don't like, I'm working on my own stuff and have so many things going on. And it's just like, okay, whatever. But I mean, half the time, like, I'm like terrible with like pop culture and news and social media. Like, I get on my phone and just say stuff, or like I post stuff. So it's usually like a week after something's happened, and I'm like, oh, okay.
No, I totally get that. My degree is in political science too, and you know,
but I'm just like, so like on the, like, we're on the road and we're making, you know, I'm making my first record right now, and like there's all kinds of stuff, you know, going on, and so I don't pay attention.
You got more important shit to deal with.
You know, somebody will text it to me like a week after something, you know, after there's a headline, and I'm like, oh, okay, you know, whatever.
Yeah, great.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah. So I think that was the best answer to that question you could have given me, by the way. Now, so when you get to Nashville and, you know, you're doing the thing, and I mean, really, it's only been a little over a year now. So how do you start to connect with some of these other big guns in the industry that are coming up, you know, like Cameron and Megan, right, and, you know, the whole nine yards? How does that happen?
I guess the big, like, overarching, like, reason that I kind of, you know, been able to have all kinds of cool stuff happen is, so when I was on the TV show, I had a publicist in town, and we had, like, kind of, you know, to give you a little bit of background, like, when you go on, like, a big TV show like that, like, there's some contracts you have to sign, and there's some agreements that you have to, you know, keep your end up, and so, you know, we had kind of signed some stuff that I couldn't really, like, because of the integrity of the show, I couldn't go out and do a bunch of podcasts or interviews or things like that.
Sure.
And so, but we had gotten a publicist. And it was kind of like, okay, well, there's not a lot that can be done right now on the side of publicity. She was like, but I'm going to just introduce you to a ton of people. So she introduced me to, like, the people over at UTA, which is where I have my agents are, UTA. She introduced me to my now manager and publisher, Tally Canterbury, who co-owns 50 Egg, which is the publishing company I'm signed to with Jonathan Singleton and Luke Combs. Obviously, we all know Luke Combs. But Jonathan Singleton wrote, like, Let It Rain, Watching Airplanes, Red Light. He produces Luke, like, one of the most talented people in town, you know, songwriters, producers. And so it was kind of one of those things where I was introduced to all of them through my old publicist, Olivia. She's great. But that's kind of how I got introduced and, like, got signed, you know, to my deal, you know, because it was like, I was like, look, I'm on this TV show. There's a lot of people that are excited about that. And they're like, no, like, what's the music sound like? So I sent them all the music and kind of started writing with all their writers over here. And they're like, we love it. We think this is great. Like, do you want to work with us? So that's kind of how that happened. You know, and it's like, people always ask me, like, the Megan Maroney connection. So, like, you know, Megan went to Georgia. She was about a year in front of me. And so when she graduated when I got there. So I guess 2 years in front of me, 3 years in front of me, whatever it was. But she kind of did the same thing I did, like, played all the frat gigs, the sorority gigs, was like the local opener on some shows. So everybody's like, you need to get connected, you know, with Megan. And at some point, you know, like, we just connected on social media, became friends, went to lunch, I think, one day, or coffee. At some point, it was back in, like, 2022. Like, August of 2022, and I was like, the TV show had just come out, and I'm like, I don't know where this goes. I was like, I don't know what happened. You know, ended up being a massive TV show, and I was like, what do you have coming up? She's like, well, we have this song. It's a football song. We'll see what it does. Ends up being Tennessee Orange. So it's kind of like, at the same time, my stuff and her stuff both kind of, you know, started popping off a little bit. And that's when, you know, I got the call about going out on tour with her and toured with her all of 2023. So Megan's been a great friend of mine. She's awesome. But, you know, we were just kind of friends when both of us were just kind of starting to come up in the business a little bit together. And it's just been, it's been awesome watching her just become what she is, because I think she's great and she's always been great to me. And I'm just super proud of her and I love her.
Yeah, she seems awesome. You know, she seems like she's doing it right, if you know what I mean. You know, she's,
oh, sure.
You know, she's kicking ass, but also kicking ass quietly.
Yeah, you know? Oh, no, for sure. And she's just, she's doing her thing. She's writing her song. She's got, you know, she's got it. She just got what it takes, I think, to make it, and she's killing it. And like Cameron Marlowe, funny enough, I tell people all the time, he was the first concert I went and saw after the pandemic. So I went and saw him in like February or March of 2021 down in Athens. And I was just like, this guy's sick. He can sing his ass off. Like I heard him on Spotify or somewhere. And then I like looked up tour dates and he was coming to town. And so me and my roommate went and watched him, and I was like, this guy's great. This is awesome. And that was kind of the time when I was starting to like post stuff on social media, like around that time, like, you know, summer of 2021 is kind of when everything kind of started happening. And then I started playing a bunch of shows in the summer, fall of 2021. So he was kind of like somebody that I always look back and I'm like, you know, he was somebody I went and saw in concert. And I was like, I think I kind of want to do this for a living. And now being able to go on tour with him is just the most full circle, surreal thing ever.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We've had Cameron scheduled on this show like twice, and each time something has come up last minute and it's fallen through, and it's kind of a bummer because I would love to hear, you know, kind of love to hear a story, just to, you know, because he's another one that has gone from 0 to 60
you know,
almost overnight.
Yeah.
So yeah, because so you're going out on tour with him starting next week.
Yes. Right?
Next week, week after.
Yeah, next week.
And you're what, direct support for that tour?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's Lacey K. Booth, who I love. She's great. Her music is just awesome. I haven't ever got to meet and hang out with her, but.
You haven't? Dude, she is the best fucking hang in the world.
Okay, good. Love
she,
that.
Do you like tequila at all?
Oh, kind of. Depends.
Bro, she's going to make you love it. I'm telling you. I had never done tequila. I had never shot tequila. And she made me do it, and it was, it actually was like, oh, this isn't that bad.
Now we're going to thank our friends on the North Shore, the Porch Southern Fair and Juke Joint. Our buddy Jonathan Post is the head chef and owner of The Porch. They are at 175 Rivers Edge Drive, right in Medford, Massachusetts. Don't want to miss this place. They have some of the best food in the region. Jonathan has brought his Nashville roots here to New England with the food, with the hospitality, and most of all, the music. Check him out, theporchsouthern.com.
Yo, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear you now.
That was weird. I don't know. I think something with the Wi-Fi looked
like it. Yeah, it could have been, but it cuts off. I'm in the middle of the woods, man, so it could have.
Oh, I gotcha.
The wind could have just blown right
I mean, that's a good. That's a good place to be.
Yeah. Right. But so what did you hear? Did you hear my
Yes, Lacey K's gonna make me love tequila.
Yes. Yes, she sure is. And she's fun and she's sweet. She's like the nicest person in the entire world. Yeah, you'll have fun hanging out with her. She's
love her.
She's great. But yeah, so now when you get a chance like that, you know, to direct support, you know, Cameron or Megan or whatever, like do you reach out, or does somebody reach out to you and say, hey, do you want to do this?
I think it's like I think it's kind of like conversation sometimes between like the agents. You know, I know like with me and Megan, like I said, it was just like we were such good friends, and just like whenever everything kind of started happening, you know, I think it was just she reached out to her agent and was like, hey, like I think this is the guy we want to go with, and then she reached out to my agent. And then that's just kind of, you know, we were both signed at UTA, both still are. UTA is the best of the best when it comes to agencies in Nashville. You know, right now I feel like they're just hungry and they're kicking butt. And, you know, also it's great for me because I do still have aspirations on TV and in movies and different stuff. And they just have a massive just amount of resources for any and everything that you would want to do as an entertainer. And so they're great. Yeah. But I think it's all a lot of times conversations between agents, you know, and of course, you know, the artist is going to make the final decision. Like the artist is going to go, well, this is the guy that we want or whatever that is. And, you know, I actually cut Hold On To Me, the song that I have, Cameron wrote on that. And I heard his demo of it and I was like, I want to cut this. And I ended up cutting it. And, you know, he reached out and he's like, hey man, like this is, you know, your take on this was sick. Like, I think it's awesome. And we just kind of became friends, you know, after that and just hung out with each other. You know, when we would see each other out, he came to a show, you know, one of my shows I did with Megan and I went to one of his shows and just kind of like became friends. And I think when it was just like, all right, well, here's kind of the next thing, you know, I'd know that, you know, it kind of got brought up. And the next thing I know, you know, there was a call from my agent and she was like, here's kind of what's going on. And it was the tour. And so that's just kind of been the thing. It's just, I think it's always ends up being stuff like that. Most of the time, you know, it's these, you know, the artist is headlining. It's like, well, these are the two people that I, you know, really like. And I think that they're cool. And that's kind of the thing that Megan has been just so good to me and took me tour, the first tour last year and the second one. And she was just like, I think your music's sick. I think you're great. I believe in you and what you're doing creatively 1,000,000%. And she was like, I want to just take you back on tour just, you know, for more people to get to see you. And so it's always things like that. And it's just, I think that's the way that you do it. It's just you have a good repertoire with all the artists in town and you know, and that, but that's the thing, you know, too, like moving forward is like these guys have been so good to me and like I know how to treat other artists and how to find somebody I believe in and yeah, throw everything at them. And so that's going to be hopefully a cool thing I get to do in the next coming years is like go play my own tours and get somebody out that I'm like, this is the person that I think is the next, you know, big thing and I believe in them and, you know, and be able to support them.
Yeah. You know, it's all about paying it forward, you know, for sure.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and it's, I gotta say, you know, the way you're doing it and the way you've done it, you know, it's incredible. You know, it really is. You know, you have the talent, you have the, you know, you have the, you know, the quote unquote lineage, right? But like, no. I love that you don't like exploit that because you could, you easily could just be like, well, you know, fuck you, Jason Aldean's my second cousin. You know what I mean? You could be that person because there's a lot of them out there. You know, and the fact that you don't is, I think, you know, it says a lot about you.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And I think, too, it's just like, you know, musically, I think we're two different artists musically. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, just I think we're just two different people. And, you know, I think, you know, that was kind of the thing that was always funny is like I always knew like what my artistry was and what I wanted it to sound like and be like. And I think like people like the show kind of went off and like, they're like, all right, he's about to start releasing music. They're like, is he going to come out on stage in a pocket chain? And I was like, no. Yeah, but like I have my thing and Jason has his thing. And you know, that's always been what it was. You know, it's just always kind of been the thing. It's just, I make the stuff I make and he makes the stuff he makes. And you know, we both think it's cool, but I couldn't get out and, you know, sing and do what he does. And, you know, he could probably get out and do what I do, but I mean, it's like, we just have our own two things.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Now, so you had mentioned about, you know, still having aspirations of, you know, movies, TV, the whole nine yards. Is that something you like, again, not to put you on the spot, but if for some reason, you know, in the next couple of years, the music thing isn't kicking off the way you wanted it to, or hoped it would, not that it wouldn't, I don't see why it wouldn't, but you know, if TV or movies came to you and what that was the primary thing, would you just do that?
I don't know if I've ever thought about it really. I mean, I think it's just like the thing that I've always said about the stuff is like, cause there's been, you know, different things, opportunities that have kind of come my way since Claim to Fame was done. And since the music stuff has been happening, but the thing about it is like, you know, this is kind of the year, 2024 is going to be a big year, I hope, for me, because I'm touring so much and playing a bunch of festivals and going back on some other tours and doing some shows and things that we haven't been able to announce yet. And then, you know, I guess, I think a lot of people kind of know this already, but I'll just kind of say it, you know, out in front of everybody, you know, 2024, back into 2024, we're looking at putting out my debut record. So like, there's so many things that we have going on, you know, right now, that it's like, when these opportunities have come to me, if it makes sense to do or to audition or to try to do this, you know, when it comes to being back on TV and in the movies, we'll do it. But there's also been things that have come to me that I've gone, like, that doesn't make a ton of sense to do, or that's just not going to work with my tour schedule or with my recording schedule. And so we've unfortunately had to pass them up. But, you know, if we do look down the road and there's great opportunities that are coming from us, you know, when it comes to TV and film, you know, then we'll go take them. And, but I 100% believe that, you know, musically it's going to be great and it's going to be huge and wildly successful. And but I think that also, like, I would love to host the CMAs. I would love to host ACMs. I would love to, you know, host CMA Fest, like things like that. But also, like, go out and, you know, heck, I mean, look, Luke Bryan's one of my biggest idols. I mean, I would love nothing more than to go and do, you know, American Idol or something like that. Or, you know, it'd be a dream come true if something ever happened kind of with Claim to Fame and I was able to go and do something, you know, on that show again. So there's just a million different things. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, they're all going to work. But I'm a huge believer in timing. And I think that it all kind of happens for a reason when it does. And so that's kind of why because I think there gets to a point where as an artist, and I feel like every artist goes through this, like it's an anxiety ridden, you know, career sometimes. Cause you're just like, you know, when is this going to happen? Why is this not going to pop off? Like, what, you know, there's so many different things, but there's only so much you can really control.
Right.
You know, I can control when I wake up in the morning, how focused am I? What am I going to write? You know, what do I want this to look like? How much effort am I going to put into stuff? And then just being funny and being myself and doing my thing. And when the timing is right on it, you know, it's just going to be right. I mean, a great example and somebody that reached out to me, you know, kind of before I ever moved to town, just with really great words of encouragement, was Lainey Wilson. You know, and Lainey was like, she's a prime example. Like, Lainey was in Nashville for 10 years, and it's just like nothing was kind of, you know, she was working her butt off, but it's just like it's a 10-year town for a reason. And this, it kind of took a minute. Then all of a sudden, it was just like, boom. And she was everywhere. And she's the biggest female artist in country music right now. And she deserves every single thing that's coming for her. And she's just great. And, you know, but she was on Yellowstone. And she had all this stuff going on. And now she's hosting, you know, awards or CMA Fest and different stuff. And, you know, but that's kind of the thing. It's just like timing. It's just like you've got to believe in yourself as an artist and what you're doing and your vision, but also realize that, you know, the timing may not be exactly what you want it to be, but you just have to have enough faith in you and what you're doing and your talent that just doesn't bother you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you're absolutely right. You know, it takes a lot of work. You know, we hear it, you know, especially through these episodes all the time about how, you know, how people grind and grind and grind and grind. And it takes, you know, that one person, right? It could be that one person or that one song or that one collab, and it's, you know, it goes from 0 to 60 overnight.
Right. No, for sure.
Now, for what you're, you know, for your debut album that you're hoping to come out later this year, is that all done?
Yeah. So it's all written. We're kind of just in the cool little, this is kind of the spot that I enjoy the most, is like going in and recording. You know, the writing process I love, but like going in and recording and making everything kind of sound cool and where I want it to sound, you know, artistically. But then also outside of that, just like the promo for it, like what's the, like my whole thing is like, what's the cover art going to be? What's the visuals going to look like? Like when I did my project that I put out last summer, 23 Days in LA, I loved it. It was awesome. You know, but it was like, it was great because I flew out there with the guys that do all my creative stuff, and shout out to them. They're awesome. But it's like, I went out, you know, and for 3 days we were in LA, and it was like meticulous, and this is where we're going to get this shot, and this is going to be right here, and we make sure that we're at Santa Monica Pier at 6:45 because the Ferris wheel turns this color at 6:48, you know. And it's just like so many different things that go into it, and I think that's a massive thing, you know, artistically, is that, and the creative vision for things like that. And I think that, you know, my favorite picture ever is the cover art from 23 Days in LA. It's just cool, and it's everything that I wanted it to be, and it's awesome. And but that's such a big part of artistry in general, especially now, because we do live in such a, you know, visually focused society right now. Like, yeah, you have TikTok and you've got social media, and you know, really back in the day, it's like you were trying to make really cool cover art because, you know, it was sitting on a shelf at a record, you know, in a record store or at a Walmart or whatever it was. And now it's like, you know, you can promote stuff independently in a really cool, fun, great way, you know, through TikTok and through Instagram and whatnot. But it's like, that's just such an important thing nowadays, is the visuals and the visual aspect of stuff. So I have just as much fun doing that as I do writing the songs and going in and recording everything. And, you know, then you just kind of get down to the time where it's like, well, what time do I need to post this? Like, what is this? Right. Like, there's so many things that go into it. And I have a great team because, you know, they kind of let me go in and figure that stuff out. And they always, you know, help facilitate stuff and accommodate me whenever there's things like that we're getting done. But I enjoy that side of it just as much as I do, you know, making the music and writing the music. Is just, how do you package it and how do you make it look cool and how do you promote it? And so that's all stuff that goes into putting out a project. And so that's kind of the spot we're in right now. Is like, all the songs are written, finishing up the last little bit of like recording everything, but now it's just like, all right, like, let's go take the pictures, let's go get this thing ready to go, and so we can package it and get ready to put it out.
Yeah, you know, it's even doing this, you know, on this side of it, you know, the creative behind, you know, these sorts of things. And, you know, like you were saying, like the cover arts for, you know, even these episodes, it's like,
right,
you know, you gotta, you know, for me, it's like, you gotta kind of keep it similar, but also, you know, bring that person's, you know, flair into whatever photo you choose, or, yeah, you know, whatever, you know, exactly what you said, you know, what time do I post this? You know, what, when do I, you know, it's such a rat race and such a game. It's right. You know, it makes it fun.
It does make it fun. It's awesome. It's great. And it's like, I just kind of enjoy creativity in general, which is why I think, you know, there's, you know, still things when it comes to TV and film that I enjoy. It's just like, I just like creativity and creative people and the creative process and any part of that I love. Like I said, from writing a song and figuring out, is this melody better than this melody, to do I want this to be the cover art or this to be the cover art? Like, all that stuff intrigues me and I enjoy it and I love it. And I just think it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's great. You know, and that's, you know, that's a big part of it. If, as long as you're loving it and doing it and still excited about it, that's, you know, that's huge. That's huge. Right.
So I think I would be totally remiss if I didn't mention our friends over at 10thWhiskey.com. That's 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company. They're out of Vail, Colorado. Great, great friends of ours. We don't like bourbon here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast, and they make the absolute best bourbon I've ever tasted in my entire life. And I'm not saying that because they've been great to us. They have the best bourbon, the best rye I've ever tasted in my entire life. So check them out, 10thWhiskey.com. Tell them the Boots and Whiskey Podcast sent you. Cheers.
Now, for, you know, for these shows you're going out with Cameron starting next week, now, do you set up your shows where it's going to be, I don't want to say the same show every night, but is the set list pretty much, you know, the same every night? Is that how you do it? Or do you do it where you change it up depending on, you know, whatever factor may be in play that night?
Yeah, usually, I mean, it's kind of one of those things that me and my band leader, Dylan Keith, shout out to him. He's awesome. He's great, plays guitar, and kind of, he just does a bunch of stuff for me. He's all around just super talented guy. You know, we kind of go in and rehearse things, and it's kind of like, you know, here's the songs, and we kind of build the set list out of, like, we want it to flow well, and, you know, you want to throw a couple covers in there that are super cool, and it's like figuring all that out. And then it's like, you know, we go out the first night, like on the first, you know, show, the Megan tour, the Lucky tour back in the fall when we were playing like New York City. It's like, we went out, we played the first show, and it was great, and people were into it, and they loved it, and we were kind of like, okay, that was a great set, like, let's keep that. And then kind of play, you know, did the next couple shows, and then there got to kind of a point where it was like, okay, well, like, maybe we could put this song in instead of this song, and we did that, and people loved it. And it's just kind of like, you kind of keep it the same, like, once you, you know, get it.
Yeah.
But you can also change it. And the nice thing about doing, like, acoustic stuff, like solo acoustic stuff, which, you know, kind of I did on the first tour with Megan, it's like, every once in a while, I would go play a show, and I'd be like, okay, like, you know, maybe I need to put this song in for this song, or change the key to this, or like, whatever that is, you know, and you can do that. But kind of once you get like your headlining and you have like tracks and you have a certain amount of time and a set list, like it's hard to change stuff. But by that point, like you've kind of gotten that and you've been playing these songs so much and whatnot, like you know what your crowd's going to want and what they're going to want to hear and kind of how they're going to want to listen to stuff. So I think it's just kind of a happy medium. But, you know, usually we the first, you know, weekend is kind of a big thing where it's like, all right, we've played 3-4 shows. This went perfect. Let's not change anything. Or maybe we sub out this song with this song or whatever that looks like. So,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you know, with the busy year that you have, right, with tours and getting this album together, are you how much thought has been put into or what's the plan for, you know, any singles leading up to the album?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing now is like, what are the singles going to be? We've got some, you know, I'll say this, it's like, the record as it stands now, like I said, it's not all the way done. I mean, there's like still a few more things like recording wise we need to go in and do overdubs and stuff, but like it's kind of taking its shape. It's definitely taking its shape. And I think it's just kind of like instinctively, it kind of always works as an artist. Like for all the stuff I've done is like, I know like Run Away With You, that was the single off the EP. I was like, this is going to be the single. This is gonna be super cool. I think this should be the single. Everybody on my team was like, we agree. We put it out and it did great. And it was on Spotify. Fresh Finds is the number one song on that playlist for like 2 weeks. And I became the face of Fresh Finds, which shout out to Spotify for that. And same thing with Amazon Music. And it's just like, we kind of knew that if that was the single, like, that it would do really well, and it did, and it's my most streamed song. And so I think it's kind of like once you get everything down and you like listen to the record from, you know, top to bottom, they kind of just jump out at you. Yeah. Like I really just think that's kind of it. Like it's a, they just kind of jump out at you and you're like, that's the one. That sounds like a single. That, you know, this maybe doesn't feel like a single. You know, I just kind of think that's it. I think there gets to a point where artistically you just go, this feels right. This feels like it would do well. And that's just kind of it. I mean, also, you know, there are times that, you know, I've put out songs and I was like, this is going to be the big one. This is a single. People are going to love this. And it did okay. It didn't do great. And there's been times that, like with Run Away With You, that it was a song that was ended up being a kind of a, my biggest hit. So it's like, I think that's just kind of where you have to go is artistically, what do you think the single should be? And, you know, you just have to kind of just go full speed ahead and just like commit to it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Now with the new stuff that you're going to put out is on, you know, on the debut album, is there going to be anything that has been previously released on the album or is it going to be all new all the time?
Right now, I think there's going to be one that would have been released before like the announcement of the record and the single.
Okay.
But everything else is new. Awesome. So far, and the thing about it is like it could always change, you know what I mean? Like it could change, and right. The thing about it was like we kind of had it locked in a couple months ago. I think back in August we had it locked in, kind of like here's the songs, and you know, then I went back out on tour and we went in and recorded, you know, a bunch of stuff on it, and then it was kind of like listen back through it and wrote some stuff on the road and whatnot, and I was like, no, I think this is a better song than this. And so let's pull this song and put this one on. And I think that's the constant thing is like, when you know, I think you just know, you know what I mean? Right.
Yeah.
And that was the same thing with like the EP. Whenever we went in and made it, it was like, I was always told by just people and artists and people in the industry, it's like, you're never fully done. Like you're never fully finished making a project. And I was like, okay. And then I went in and I did the EP and it was, I was like, this is perfect. Like there's not one time have I ever gone, oh, I wish I would have done something different on this record. You know what I mean? On this project. Yeah, yeah. And so I think it's once you get there and obviously, I mean, you're going to have, like, I don't have a record deal quite yet. So it's like, I'm still not to the point where it's like, okay, well you have to have this turned into the label or whatever that is.
Sure.
No, it's still kind of independently putting all of this out. So I think it's whenever the songs are done, and I know they're done and we just feel like it's ready to go is when it'll be ready to go. But like, it's getting close. You know what I mean? It's really close, which is great. And it's like I said, everything's written. And actually today we're going in and going to go record some stuff and just kind of go in and have a day where we just figure a bunch of stuff out on, you know, some of the overdubs and kind of changing and tweaking a few little things on some of the songs. And, you know, that's kind of the plan right now is just stuff like that. But it's I feel like it's a great record that really kind of represents who I am as an artist and as a person, which is kind of what you want, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you said you had a busy year of touring and stuff and things you can't quite talk about yet, but I'm gonna put your feet to the fire a little bit. Is there any shot of you coming up here this year?
Let me look on my schedule. I hope this doesn't mess the podcast up, but let's see. I don't see anything as of now.
Damn it, Logan.
I know, but
it's
all right. That stuff may change.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know that I just didn't realize until we went up and played like New York, Philadelphia, like Northeast loves their country music.
Loves it. Yeah, it's really within like the last decade or so.
Really?
Yeah. You know, and it's funny you say New York City because last I knew, New York didn't even have a country radio station anymore.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, up here in Boston has two major ones. Mm-hmm. Providence has a pretty big one. I think for our area where we are, you know, with Kenny coming up here and doing Gillette every year, at the end of his tours, you know, it's, and then other, you know, even Taylor Swift living up here, you know, part of the time.
Right.
You know, it's brought a lot of eyeballs to the area. Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because the country music scene up here is very regionalized, I think. Where, like, you know, you get closer to the bigger city, like, you know, when you get closer to Boston, you're going to get the, you know, you're going to get the Dan and Shays and the Luke Combs and, you know,
right,
you know, that type of country music in the world. And then you get out to, like, you know, I'm in central Mass, and, you know, we have a city, you know, in the center of the state called Worcester. And that's where you'll get the, you know, you'll get the Cody Johnsons of the world go there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you'll get the Justin Moores that go there. And,
right.
You know, it's wild, you know, because it's like you get the poppy stuff closer to the big city.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you get more Western Mass, you get that, you know, quote unquote, real country music sound. Right. You know, you get,
oh, sure, that traditional sound. Yeah. For
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. It's kind of wild, you know, and it's pretty cool.
No, I get that. I mean, we have that sound. I feel like same thing in Georgia. It's like,
yeah,
Atlanta, you have certain artists that go to Atlanta and do great there. And then, you know, Savannah's a huge market for it now in Macon. And so, I mean, I understand all of that.
Yeah. Like earlier, you know, early in 23, you know, the Judds did their, you know, mm-hmm, or Winona did the final Judds tour. Right.
Yep.
And it came through Worcester. It did great. You know, that would have never have sold as that great in Boston, you know, because of the sound, because of what people are looking for.
That is still one of the best concerts I've ever been to in my life. Just incredible.
Yeah, even just seeing Winona, you know, when she was here doing her Judds thing, and you know, Ashley McBride sat in for her mom, and it was fantastic.
Absolutely, I love
fantastic.
Just great, but and just also just a great person too.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, again, thank you so much for your time, and I know you got a busy day, so I appreciate you, you know, taking the time and coming on. And before I let you loose, I do have two questions. Because we are the Boots and Whiskey podcast, obviously I have to ask about your boots and your whiskey of choice.
Love it. Boots of choice, anything Dan Post.
Okay.
Dan Post is great. Started wearing Dan Post when I was in college. And then now, you know, actually know I'm on their website and I like wear their boots and I'm kind of one of like the ambassadors for them. They're great. I love their boots. They're awesome. They have never once have they ever let me down. So that's my boot of choice. And then whiskey of choice, probably, you know, if I just want to have like a couple whiskey Diet Cokes, probably Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
But if I want to actually like sit and sip on something. Buffalo Trace.
Yeah.
Or Buffalo Trace or Weller Antique. That's right. I'm like, oh, well, like, I feel bougie tonight. You know, where I did something. Yeah. Have a nice drink. It'll be Weller Antique.
Yeah, no, I get it. My bougie, my bougie whiskey is like Blanton's Eagle Rare.
Oh yeah,
And then Horse Soldier. Horse Soldier, if you haven't had it yet, is dude, it is so damn good.
Horse Soldier, I need to do that. I've had Blanton's. I've had, what else? Eagle Rare. I have so much, you know, just whiskey on my bar cart, and it's funny because it's like, you know, the old. I mean, I'm 23. My dad's 53. I want to say. And he just retired, and like less than a year ago, I guess. And him and all his buddies, so they still drink whiskey. So when I graduated college, they all like gave me like a really nice like bourbon or whiskey for my graduation. So I was loaded up with like Widow Jane,
damn,
Jefferson's, the barrel, like that they took out at sea and let it sit, and just like different, just cool things, Blanton's. And I'm just like, because I mean, graduating from college, you're a broke college kid. It's like, Jim Beam's pretty damn expensive.
Yeah. You know? It's like, yeah.
But they set me up good. So I was able to like actually go out and try some really new things, and I just have loved it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, man. It's, you know, there's so much out there to look at and try that. I mean, hell, you could do it all.
Literally.
Well, man, thanks for being on and coming.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep in touch. You know, anytime you get something going on, you know, at the end of the year when the album comes out, you want to jump back on and promote the hell out of it, let's do it up.
Let's do it, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Well, have a great enjoy your tour with Cameron, and tell Lacey we said hello, and we'll have this out to the masses shortly.
Will do. Thank you so much.
Thanks, brother. Have a good day.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Well, there you have it, everyone. Our conversation with Logan Crosby. Again, Logan, man, I cannot wait to see what you do, man, because your star is rising. You've got some great people in your back pocket. You've got great connections. And hell, fucking Jason Aldean's cousin, that's balls, man. That's so awesome. I think you're the best. You were made our top, you know, our list of male artists to watch this year, and I don't think we missed on this one. So thank you again. Thank you everybody for tuning in today. Again, check out our socials. Everything is at Boots and Whiskey Podcast. Our website is bootsandwhiskeyentertainment.com. Check it out. Thank you again so much for coming on. And like I said at the beginning here, we're all about real people, real stories, real country. Until next week, guys, keep those boots on the ground and the whiskey in the glass, y'all. Cheers.